Well, amen, everybody. Welcome on back here to Summit Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're going to go ahead and get started, waiting for our announcer. Announcer. Is our announcer in the house? Anybody out there? Brother Kwame. All right, everybody, welcome on back here. Brother Kwame is going to go ahead and give us our announcements, and so feel free to tune up to the screen, and thanks for tuning in online.
All right, we're going to go ahead and start from the top. All right, so one more time, our calendar tab here is our current, future, former events where you can keep in touch, see what's going on here at Simple Faith Baptist. The most important tab to me is the prayer tab because it's important to the Lord. He says, pray without ceasing. God tells us to pray and to continue to pray for each other. Hopefully, you're praying for each other. But this tool right here is just something for you that you can use so that we can pray for you here at Simple Faith Baptist. Right here on the right-hand side, there's like a submit prayer request tab here where you can submit your name, email, prayer details so we can keep you in prayer as a church. But again, though, you should be praying for each other just daily in general, but this tool is for so we can keep you in prayer as a whole. So if you have anything you want us to pray for here at Simple Faith Baptist, please utilize that prayer request tab there. All right. This church team tab here, so far we have myself and Carlos, but I put my number on here so you can contact me via text, via email. If you have any questions, anything you want to talk about, however I can be a blessing, my number's on there. Brother Carlos's email is on there also. All right. Go ahead and stand connected with us. I'm going to go over some of our ministry times if you're new to the page. So here just explains our different ministries. But in more detail, if you go to our homepage here, you can see our times. All right, more specifically. So every Sunday, we have a Sunday school, a 30-minute class from 1 p.m. to 1:30. And then we take a 15-minute break, and we have our Sunday service at 1:45, where we're going through the Word of God. And on Wednesday nights, like tonight, we have our midweek service. So, you know, throughout the week, you know, you hit that Sunday in the middle of the week, you want to go ahead and assemble again, gather together, and we have our Bible study there. So the beginning, so one, the first Wednesday of every month, on that at 7, we have a prayer and worship. So one of those Wednesdays, the first Wednesday of every month, we set aside time for prayer and worship. So please join us for that every first Wednesday of every month. All right. And one of the most important to me that's not on this page here, but I'll show you on the Getting Connected tab, is the soul winning. All right. So, and it... when we say soul winning, we mean what Jesus tells us to do, to go out to the world and preach the gospel. So every Saturday, we try to dedicate ourselves. Every Saturday around like 3:30, we go out here to the Oceanside area. We do some street preaching. We do some passing out flyers, some sign holding. If you can see the flyers, these signs right here. We're out there every Saturday. So please, if you can join us. The more, the merrier. We can go ahead and serve the Lord together as a body. And if you want to go ahead and join us, and if you're not a part of the ministry, but you just want to go ahead and soul win with us, just go ahead and please contact myself, the church phone, or Brother Carlos via email. All right, so moving right along, different ways that you can tune in case one goes down or you want to share with somebody else. We're streaming Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Periscope, and Podcast. All right, again, podcast is pretty unique. If, a lot of times, myself included, I like to listen to the Word of God on the road. especially when you got a long commute. That podcast is pretty unique because you can go ahead and listen without having to look at a video while you're not paying attention to the road. So podcast is pretty unique right there. Facebook is doing pretty good as well because that's, you know how it is. A lot of people are on Facebook, so you can tune in there as well. This Bible study tools tab is pretty unique as well. And speaking of this Bible study tools tab, again, it's just a tab where you can see other brothers who've been doing this a lot longer than we have. Well-seasoned, well-versed, Bible historians, and I'm telling you, it's pretty solid. But one I want to point out is Brother Josh, because Brother Josh, what he has going on right now is it's going to be, oh, here it is. So here at Bible Believers Baptist Church, Brother Josh, what he's going to have Thursday at 6 and Friday at 6, two services where we can gather together different Baptist churches and we can assemble together. It's kind of like almost like a jubilee where we just get together. More details are on his webpage. Let's see if he has it posted here. He should have it posted on his page. But we're going to make it our priority to go and visit because we don't want to forsake the gathering. So we're going to travel down to El Cajon and go ahead and join him for that there. Let me see if he has it posted. No, he doesn't have it posted, but again, though, we're going to go ahead and still, look, that's us right there, Simple Faith Baptist. But again, what we're going to do, we just want to give a shout out to Bible Believers Baptist Church. And if, you know, you're a fellow brother or sister in Christ, you want to come join, again, you can see his address here and meet there at 6 on Thursday and Friday. All right. So if I can make my way back to our tab. All right. The last thing I'm going to talk about here is online giving. Again, it's between you and the Lord. We just have it here for you if you want to donate here at Simple Faith Baptist. Again, whatever you purpose in your heart is as unto the Lord. Just know that your funds that come here will go obviously to the building itself. It'll go to signs, T-shirts, Jesus Saves T-shirts, flyers, Bibles, anything that we can do to help serve the Lord and do the things that he calls to do by helping other people out. So with that being said, I'm welcome on my brother Carlos, and hopefully y'all came for the word of God. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Quamain. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Quamain. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, we do want to thank God for our special guest here. We have Quamain's mama visiting all the way from Pontiac, Michigan. Okay, amen, amen. All right, awesome. Praise the Lord. So thanks for coming on out. With that said, yeah, so tomorrow, if you guys are able to, we're going to leave from here at 5-ish, whoever is willing. Again, there's no pressure. We're going to go show some love to the brethren down there at Bible Believers in El Cajon. They're going to have some special guest preachers there. And then also Friday night, same thing, 6 o'clock. So we will not be here Friday night. We'll be going down there as well. So my wife and I, we're going to try our best to do Thursday and Friday, most likely for sure Friday, but we'll see about tomorrow. So if you want to go, give me a call and we'll plan it. And then other than that, then this Saturday, let's get out there. Let's continue to do the work. I'm a little exhausted. I've been doing a fence project at my house. Brother Quamain, Brother Manny has been helping me out, but that heat has been getting to me. And so I'm a little exhausted today, but thank God Brother Manny hooked me up with an energy drink. So I'm hoping to pull it through for y'all tonight. So do me a favor. Let's go ahead and get into the best part of why we gather. That's the study of the Bible. Acts chapter number 16. If you have a Bible, would you turn there with me so you can see that what we're talking about is true? If you don't have a Bible, feel free to look up to the screen. We do have the verses there as well. If I go a little quick for you, but we're going to continue in our midweek Bible study. We're currently studying the book of Acts, and we're taking a historical approach to the book of Acts, which just simply means that we're not necessarily going to build church doctrine off the history of how the church was birthed and progressed through time. We're looking at it through that historical perspective of examples to follow. And so with that said, we're going to continue to pick up where we left off here in Acts chapter 16 in our Bible study, and let's move from there. So if you would, in your Bible, if you're there with me, let's go ahead and go back up here to verse number 1 to just remind some of us here this evening and those of you guys that are watching online what is going on here in the book of Acts chapter number 1 or chapter 16 verse 1 and so on and so forth. We have here Paul and Silas, and they are departing for the work of service. they get a new accompaniment by a young man by the name of Timothy. You guys know that Paul eventually wrote two letters to him, so he joins the crew there. And as they wanted to do more work for the Lord in certain areas, the Holy Spirit told them, don't go into this area, keep going in a different location. So they were obedient throughout the entire time. Here is going to be the most important part, though. Verse number 9, Paul received a vision about a man of Macedonia asking him to come over and help us. So keep that in mind. They are going to go over there to Macedonia in hopes to see what the Lord has in store for them. All right, on their way, they get there to a place called Philippi, and there are some women there that were worshiping God, praying by the riverside, and we see some ladies there get saved. The Lord does a great thing. And we see the next thing that took place here. While they're waiting, again, for this vision to come to pass, so far they just met women that they led to the Lord. There was a devil-possessed young woman who interacted with them and was being a nuisance, if you would, to the apostles. And Paul ended up casting that devil out of this young woman. And that's what caused a spark and a rage, because this young lady was being used for her service of divination to make money for these men. These men were wicked and evil men. And as you can tell, obviously, off any type of service today, be it prostitution, drugs, human trafficking, any man or woman that can make money off of somebody else, unfortunately, they're going to be led by those desires. So that's pretty much what these guys were doing. So because they saw that they were not going to be able to make their money, of course, they went to go complain to the local rulers there about Paul and Silas. You can see in verse 19, they drew them into the marketplace. Now, remember verse 9, the vision of the man. So far, there is no man that they're helping out. If anything, men are coming against them. So keep that in mind. Going forward, they end up getting tried right there in the marketplace. They beat them. Bible says in verse 23, they led many stripes upon them. So with a rod. That's how they got whooped on by these Romans. And eventually they were put into jail. You can see there in verse number 23 and 24. They were fastened into the stocks there. And they charged this jailer to keep them tight and secure because of everything that they did. So now we have a single man in the picture in the presence of the apostles. So keep that in mind now as we move forward. This is where we left off last Wednesday, which we're going to pick up here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Paul and Silas responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and say with me, church, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've allowed us once again to gather as Christians to read your Bible and to be edified and to grow by what we read. I just thank you, God, that many folks were able to come here today, travel from far distance. I pray for them that are here and them that are watching online, God, that your Holy Spirit would help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see wonderful things from thy holy word, so we can grow, edify, and learn more about you, God, and how we can gain some examples to follow and some lessons to learn from what we're going to read tonight in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, so let's go back up in our text. Again, if you're following along with us in-house or on the screen here, we're going to pick up in verse number 25. The Bible says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'm going to make a bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker is going to say this, turn your complaining into praying. I think that's true for this effect because, again, we talked about this last week, how many of us as Christians or quote-unquote Americans, Gentiles in the flesh, we complain when the AC goes out, we complain when the electricity goes out, we complain when our cell phones don't get any service, We complain when our husbands or wives don't listen to us, etc., etc. Here are these two gentlemen that are beaten in public. They are dragged to a jailhouse. They are fastened to stocks against the wall, unable to move, really, in the inner prison room, which we talked about last two Wednesdays ago, which is like a dungeon. It's a dark place, especially at midnight, pitch black. And rather than complaining, rather than murmuring about something that definitely seems to be worthy about complaining, you know what they do? Bible says they sang and they praised God. Not only did they sing and praise God, but what does that Bible say? That the prisoners heard them. I like that example to follow, Christian. I don't know about you, but I want my life to be like Paul and Silas, where I'm not just a closet Christian. I'm not just somebody that professes to believe in God from a distance and nobody else around me even knows that because of the way I live. I want to be that kind of Christian where the folks around me hear, man, there's Brother Carlos over there praising, singing praises to God, even though he may be going through something, even though you may be going through something. We want to live a life just like them where even though you may have the right, honestly, before man to say, man, it seems like, you know, this is a worthy situation to complain about. Wait a second. While I'm chained to the stocks of whatever I'm going through, figuratively speaking, you get what I'm saying here, I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to use this as a testimony so others can see that. So now, just know that what they were doing was visibly and auditory. It was heard. And so here we follow in the book of Acts that when you're in life's deepest holes and left alone, abandoned by the world, knowing the devil is out there to hinder God's plans he has for you, we could either cower in the dark. We could either renounce our faith and walk in the way of the world and please everybody else, or we could stand firm, praise God, sing joyfully unto him for his goodness sake, and take these thoughts into captivity that are contrary to a peaceful mind. If you would, turn with me in your Holy Bible to Philippians chapter number 4. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Philippians 4. Hope you have a Bible there. If you don't, like I said, follow along with us on the screen. Now, this verse was reminded to Brother Kwame and I from an older saint, and this brother was a military guy who was way higher than Kwame and put us in subjection. I'm not even in the Marine Corps, and I was just listening to the brother while he was talking to us, this brother. I forgot his name, but he just said, brothers, I want you to remember that verse right there, Philippians 4:8. And so he says, whenever he sees, he's going to ask us. But keep in mind what we're talking about here and the situation that they were going through and what was going through their minds, and how we can gain some encouragement from here. Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Notice that truth is the opposite of things that are false. Whatsoever things are honest. Notice that something that is honest is the opposite of a lie. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you see that? Now that's a commandment the Holy Ghost has given us through Paul's writing here in Philippians. So now imagine back with me at the jailhouse, in the dungeon, to the shackles, midnight dark, nobody can see nobody. Rather than thinking on themselves and the oppression and all this silliness that they're going through, and it's serious persecution, they thought about Jesus. They thought about God. They thought about him. That's something that we have the power to do as Christians today. Rather than thinking on the lies that we see through the media, rather than thinking about the unjust that we see throughout our culture, or the things that are wicked and perverse and vile through, you know, movies that we used to watch or watching today, for those of the other, music, etc. What if we truly did think on these things? What would be the end result? But a peaceful mind. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Notice that. Paul and Silas, obedient to the Holy Spirit, telling them to go fulfill the work of ministry. Did they know that ahead of their journeys there was going to be persecutions? No. Did they know that John Mark would bail on them in Acts chapter 13? No. Did they know Barnabas would go against them? No. Did they know all these things were going to take place? But one thing we do know is that they were meditating upon the things that the Lord told them to do. And so they were ready to hazard their lives for his name's sake. The same thing with us today. We have two choices. We could either think on these things of Scripture. We can either yield ourselves in obedience and the response from God, you know what he said? He'll be with me. Or I can rebel against God. I can reject his word. I can totally do everything else under the sun that I want to do that brings me pleasure. Watch wickedness in the movies. Listen to vile things through the music. You know what that Bible says? If I'm not doing that, most likely, he's not going to be with me. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be in me. But what I am telling you is that his fellowship with you is not going to be there. Just like your fellowship with your friends and family, when we have sin in our lives, it definitely hinders our fellowship with God, and I'm going to show you that later on tonight. Verse number 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, this is Paul speaking, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. In prison. Shackles. Anything else he could have done, murmur, complain, kick, and scream, but he said, you know what, God, you are so worthy, you are so good. Thank you for allowing me to even be here for you. I was on my way to hell, but you saved me. I was persecuting your church, but you had enough grace in your heart to come and save me, a wretched man. You know what that Bible says? Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Man, if there was anybody deserving of hell, Paul knew it was me. I wonder, church, if we can reach maturity in our life to know, man, God, I'm content with where I'm at. I may not have what they have. I may not do what they do. I may not have the things that I thought I should have, but Jesus, I have you, and that's enough. I'm content. I'm content. Verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased, that is to be of a lowly mind, that is to be of a humbled mind, that is to be somebody that is without honor, so to speak, somebody that is not in an exalted position. He was that. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Ultimately, verse 13, I can do all things to Christ, which strengtheneth me. The only one that gave him the power to have that joy against the shackles of that wall was who? Jesus Christ. What did he tell me? If I think on these things, the God of peace will be with me. So Christian, if we are yielding our lives in obedience, Jesus Christ will strengthen you to endure or to go through any situation you're going through. But if you are against God and living life in rebellion, Jesus Christ is going to allow that thing to shake you up, rattle you up, because you are saying no to him, and I'll show you. So what's the key to enduring persecution? Suffering, trials, tribulations. It's going through them with Jesus. You see, when we as believers are walking in obedience to the Word of God, we are walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5. When we're living a life contrary to the Word of God, we're walking in the flesh. Galatians 5. We don't please God when we're walking in disobedience because we're not walking in faith at those moments we're actually walking in doubt. Hebrews 11:6, Romans 14:23, and Galatians 5. And when we do walk in the flesh, that is contrary to God's word, not living in obedience, you know what that Bible says in Ephesians 4:30? We grieve the Holy Spirit. And thereby we hinder the work that God desires to fulfill through our lives. We tell him no, and our flesh yes. And as a result, nothing will work out for the good when we are involved in that type of life. So consider Paul and Silas. Up to this point, they've followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. They've obeyed the word as it was progressively revealed to them. And as a result, a man and his family end up getting saved after hearing the gospel presented to them. You see, let's go to Romans 8:28 to remind ourselves of the truth of the word of God when considered as it is stated. Rather than how our church tradition wants to make us feel, or our feelings, or silly Facebook posts, the way that people want to misconstrue it. Now let's reread it carefully. Romans 8:28. Bible says here that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and people want to stop right there and move on with life. They don't want to finish the rest of the verse. The Bible says to them who are the called according to his purpose. That Bible tells me this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If I don't love God, all things will not work out for the good. Why? Because I am not living a life that's in accord to His purpose. But when I live a life loving God, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14, it's real simple. Whatever He told you to do, however He told you to live, you're living in accord to that love, that will of God. Therefore, you are going to allow God to fulfill His purpose for your life. It's real simple. That's the modern believer's today's approach. When they read this verse, they say, my purpose. All things work out together, brother, for the good. But I'm going to keep shacking up. I'm going to keep smoking dope, keep drinking alcohol, keep doing all this because all things work together for the good. No, fool. To them that love God, if you walk after the flesh, you're going to reap condemnation. It's the bottom line. Let me tell you how much Christians are warned by the apostles themselves. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles quickly to the book of James. This is just a quick side nugget example that we're going to learn by the obedience of James and see the contrary of what happens if we do the opposite of what they did. Bibles, let's turn them there to James chapter number 1. All right, the Word of God says here in the book of James, chapter number 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Do we do that? Do we say thank you, God, for this trial? Thank you, God, for that? Knowing this, we should know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Perhaps God is doing that on purpose. Perhaps God is going to allow you to come to the end of yourself to work something out in your life. But let patience have a perfect work. Don't you try to escape it. Don't try to take the easy way out. God's trying to do something for you. He's trying to get that heart of yours more like His, trying to kind of mold that area, right? That ye may be perfect and entire. Simply means complete. Wanting nothing. King James word, wanting, lacking. In other words, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God, what's going on? Why am I going through this, Lord? I've been doing this for... He'll give you the understanding. He'll give it to you. But what did we talk about earlier? Let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Whoa. Who's James addressing? The brethren. These are saved brothers. Hey, don't you think you're going to receive anything from God when you're not walking in faith? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How about that, church? You want to receive that crown? The Lord says it's available. But you got to love me. You got to be willing to obey my commandments. You got to be willing to endure those trials and temptations. When the world comes against you, you got to be willing to yield to me. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It ain't God's fault, fool. It's my fault. It's your fault when we allow ourselves to get over there on that sidewalk, because when you walk by that liquor store, man, you wanted that taste again, or the drugs, or the women, or the men, the relationships back there, over there, and all those sinful desires and habits that we all used to do. God said, that wasn't me. It was all your heart. It was all your lust. He gave us the power to resist. But we did it anyways, and look at what the Holy Lord says here. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know what I love about that King James Bible, that word err? To err is to wander from the right way, to deviate from the true course. Don't err from this walk with God. Don't be fooled by thinking that what you're doing is right and okay with God. He told you, that's not me. That's you. Chapter 3, same book. Let's go to chapter 3. James chapter 3. Go down with me to verses 13. Brother Kwame and I had a personal one-on-one on our flight back from Florida from Bible conference, and we read the book of James together. Got a little cray-cray in that airplane. It says right here in verse number 13, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Envy and strife, not from God. You know what he said? It's from the devil. It's from all that sin down here. That's not for me. It's not for me. Verse 17, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure." Philippians 4, 8, "Think on these things." Whatsoever things are pure, right? "Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown of them that make peace." Paul and Silas, they were operating in the wisdom that is from above. Notice that they were not railing. Notice that they were not cursing. Notice that they were not threatening. When the earthquake took place, and that Bible says supernaturally, everybody's stocks broke, and all these prisoners were there. God only knows what type of men were there. I mean, these were bad guys. They were in jail. They could have probably killed that guy, and they didn't. Paul didn't. He was walking by the fruit of the Spirit there, you see. Chapter 5, next chapter here. Chapter 5, what are we doing? We're just contrasting here the example by what we should do and what we shouldn't. And here we're getting some great examples. Look at what that Bible says in verse number 8. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Do you guys believe Jesus is coming back soon? Anybody? I believe it. I believe if we keep ourselves more focused on that truth than the world around us today, we'd be living more like Jesus in this sense. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned." Woo! That's pretty heavy right there. "Grudge not, grudge not. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." He's talking about the Lord. He is standing before the door. That's what he's saying. "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." You know what the Holy Ghost wants to remind Christians to the brother James here? Think about all those men that were stoned, that were sawn asunder, right? Hebrews 11. All these men who were betrayed, you know, they were isolated. Some of them ran into caves. Prophet Elijah, remember that fella? That Bible says that they were an example of suffering for the Lord. Patience for the Lord. "Behold," verse 11, "we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Notice there, brothers, what did he say there in verse number 11? "Ye have seen the end of the Lord. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." The Holy Spirit didn't say, "You've seen the end of Job." He said, "You've seen the end of the Lord. You saw the Lord's purpose fulfilled in a man who was willing to obey God and endure patience." Paul and Silas are that example that we can follow. Now, I thought this interesting here when we go back up here to verse number 9. Look at what that Bible says. "Behold, the judge standeth before the door." There's two verses in our Holy Bible that tells us about these things that have been written unto us that we sin not. And when I looked these verses up, it was very interesting to see the context of both of those verses. Let me share them with you now. The first is Exodus 20:20, and the second is 1 John chapter 2. Let's go to Exodus 20, and then we'll go to 1 John chapter 2. This is very interesting to see when you study this here Bible. Exodus chapter 20, give you a little context. In verse number 1, God is speaking. We know he's given the law to Moses to give to the nation of Israel. But my Bible says that all scripture is inspired and profitable for doctrine so we can learn. And now look at what this says. Let's go down here to verse number 20. After he gives the Ten Commandments, many of you guys remember this. Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." What did James say? "That temptation, that trial, let it have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." That trial, that temptation, may be from the Lord, because he's trying to prove your heart. He's trying to prune it. He's trying to mold it. But and look at what God said to Moses, and Moses to the people of Israel, "Don't fear, because God is coming to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." You say, "Man, what does that have to do with me as a Christian?" That same God that told Moses to tell the people of Israel that is the same God that told the Apostle John to tell believers that. Are you ready? 1 John chapter 2. Watch this. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 1. First John 2, verse number 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." How about that? "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, we don't have to fear, as Christians, the wrath of God, because Jesus Christ took our punishment. We know that. He is the Savior. But notice how God tells you, "These things have been written unto you, that you sin not." I like this understanding from two places in God's Word. Number one, Exodus, the fear of God before you so you know how to live. James, hey, that judge, he's standing before the door. Don't do this, don't do that. The Lord, he's going to talk to you about it. John, "I've written these things so you don't sin. You have an advocate. You have somebody to help you, but don't do it. You don't have to do it." Paul and Silas were a great example. Here's my point. God could use you. He could use me for his good purpose. Only if we yield ourselves to his control by obeying the word. When we choose to rebel, it ain't going to happen. His purpose is not going to be fulfilled. I don't want to lose out on that fruit. Do you, church? I don't. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Let's go back to our base text tonight. Acts 16. And let's go to verse number 26. Bible's good, amen? Anybody out there? Okay. I'm a little tired. Come on, y'all. Bible says here in verse number 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." We talked about that. "So that the foundations of the prison were shaken," right? The prison house was founded right upon those foundations. "And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose." Now, how ironic is that? A lot of prisoners wish that would happen today. "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And he called for a light." Now, who could blame a guy? He needed a smoke. He was stressed out. Nope. Okay, never mind. "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out." Notice the text. "And said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" You say, "Brother Carlos, why would this man wanted to have commit suicide?" I'm going to read you a quote by William Godby's commentary on the New Testament. And he says here, "The awakened and panic-stricken jailer, knowing Roman law will require his life as substitute for the fugitive prisoners." You see, back in these days, it's not like our amazing country of democracy in America. If you let them prisoners escape, fool, you gonna die. That's it. Roman law, you let any of those prisoners escape, they're going to take you out. It's point blank. Don't let nobody escape out of your jailhouse or else your life is at stake. Imagine all these prisoners escape, but they need to go through a trial. Ain't nobody going to get killed today, but that's Roman law. That's Roman law. So he was about to take himself out before he was going to be taken out. Okay, he's like, well, I already know what's going to happen. Let me do it. You see, the Roman jailer would have killed himself on the spot, but thank God that the light of the love of God was in the midst of that darkness. You see, the keeper slept in the prison, overseeing its affairs in close proximity. What I can see from this verse, and this is just my belief, you can take it with a grain of salt, but when you go back up here to verse number 27 and 28, I believe that the Bible condemns suicide. It's my belief that God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33, but the devil is. And wherever death is motivated as an alternative choice, the father of that and influencer of that is Satan. Jesus said it in John 8:44 that he is a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. Notice the principle. I talked to you guys about this last Sunday in regards to this principle of how God deals with mankind throughout time. Wherever he sees a humble heart, he'll exalt that heart. But wherever he sees a man of pride, he will respond accordingly. Let's turn our Bibles to let's go to three places, because in the gospel accounts it's very similar, but I'd like to show you these two other places in the Old Testament, and then I'll give you the New Testament verse. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22. I want you to see why it is deal with this jailer in such a manner as this. And it could be because of what I'm going to show you. 2 Samuel 22. And then this will give us understanding of how God deals with people. 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to go down to verse number 26. This is King David, and the other psalm that we're going to refer to is the same psalm written by him. So again, very similar. The Bible says in verse number 25, therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. How about that? So let me ask you a question. According to these two verses, how is God going to respond to the human heart? Based upon their heart's condition or based upon his? It's based upon their heart condition. If he sees that you have a heart that's proud, you boast, you think you're God, he's going to humble you, boy. If you have a heart, though, that's of lowliness and a contrite heart, you know, you're very humble in mind. You know you're not as good as anybody else. You know there is a God up there. He's going to deal with you accordingly. That's what he said. The same verse that I wanted to show you, it's very similar in Psalm 18:25, again, it's by King David. Psalm 18, and it's in verse number 25 here. It's very important because, again, this is how I approach the subject and how God deals with people and how it is and why it is that when he sees people that desire to know him or respond to the God-given conscience of his existence, God will send the truth. He'll send the light of the gospel unto them. Bible says here in verse number 24, therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. What's the difference there? Unsavory, froward. Don't be a messed up guy. God is going to treat you messed up. You want God to treat you good? You need to show yourself that, Lord, I know you're God. I'm going to respect you, Lord. I know I am not this big bad dude out here, this big bad girl out here. I'm a humble myself. The same thing the Lord said. If we now go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 14, in Luke 14. This was the New Testament verse that I was going to allude to in verse number 11. But the other places, Matthew 23, 12, Luke 18, 14, very similar. So I'm just going to use this as the example. Ironically, Brother Manny and I were talking about this today, if we remember, brother. Remember here in verse number 8, he put a parable forth to those that he's talking to. He says here, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. How awesome is the Bible? How contradictory is it against culture? Oh, we need to treat everybody equal. No, dude, there are people that are of more honor than other people. Okay, it's very clear. The Lord said it. I'm going to believe it. Verse number 9, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. So if somebody invites you somewhere, don't be trying to be all cool and sit right next to the VIP fella, you know, the one that's, no, take the humble approach, number one, all the time. Because you never know when that man sees your humility, he's going to exalt you. Hey, man, come and sit over here with us, man. You know, you're good, brother. I want to be the servant of all. That's what the Lord says. So I don't want to keep preaching on that subject, but let's keep going. Verse number 10. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For, are you ready now? Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's what Jesus said. Notice how he said, he didn't say the elect, he didn't say people, Jews, Gentiles. He said, for whosoever. I believe that. So now, taking that into consideration, if we go back now, what do we see? The principle. All these years have passed on since Paul's conversion back there in Acts 9. Paul has had good times and he has had bad times. But Jesus thus far has kept his promise of surely showing him how much he must suffer for his name's sake. You can read that in Acts 9, 15 through 16. And after great missionary trips, church plants, abandonment, persecution, the Lord was right there with him the whole time. And as the Lord searches to and fro the hearts of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God, you can read that, Psalm 14, 2, Psalm 53, 2. God gave Paul a vision of a man in need of his help. And as the loving and gracious God he is, was going to help him. And this man of Macedonia prayed, and what did he say there in Acts 69? Help us. Come over and help us. That's what the vision said, right? And so, before Paul, there was a man of Macedonia. And there he is, trembling, and there he is, humble, ready to receive the help. Let's go to Acts 16, back to our base text. This is one of the most famous verses that a lot of our fundamental brethren preach and teach, put them on their signs and their gospel tracts, all because of this man of Macedonia, friend. Look at how God is so good. When this man came there trembling, brought him out, and said, sirs, verse 30, what must I do to be saved? So what do we see again? The principle. God is looking to and fro. Human hearts. Human hearts. He's proven the hearts. He's trying the hearts. He's seeing the motives. You know what? Holy Spirit, I need you to tell brother such and such, that man over there, he needs my help. That woman right there that's sitting in the alley, she needs my help. Man, he's thinking about suicide. Send him. Yep, send that Christian brother over there. I don't know how God does it, but that's God. That's how good he is. That's how awesome he is. And that's why whenever you hear Christians, fundamentalists or not, doesn't matter, they always say, oh, that was a divine appointment today. Like, somebody just really needed to hear what you had to tell them. That's God. That's how good he is. That's how he works through you, believer. But notice that he worked through you because you were being obedient. You were willing to go into the world and preach. You were willing to do what he told you to do. And so when you went to do your thing as a faithful Christian in the workplace or however you are in your travels, before you know it, you get a tug in your heart. Man, I just need to tell you about something. You tell them about Jesus. I'm like, man, I just needed to hear that. We've encountered that many times. The sad thing is maybe they just don't want to receive his word. But now, on that judgment day, they're not going to have excuse. The Lord said, I try to help you. Kwame, come over here, son. Yes, sir. You remember that day? Yep. I see. Here he is. You know he talked to you right then and there in that street corner. You try to talk to your family members. Maybe he's going to call the family members when that great white judgment comes. Son, come over here, Manny. Son, come over here. Daughter, come over here. You told him, didn't you? I did. And then before you know it, it's too late. Hell. Because they rejected him. Not you. But him through you. What a shame to the devil that was, who thought that he could aid the suicidal thought of this jailer, not recognizing the power of the light of the gospel, able to bring life where death is just around the corner. This famous verse in verse 31 is printed on our t-shirt logos. Many of a Bible believer have them on their gospel tracts and so on. But we only get to verse 31 because of two men that were willing to be obedient back there at the end of Acts chapter 13 and 15. Verse 31, what did they tell him in response? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So before we close, church, what do we recognize tonight? God can use you and he can use me for great things for his purpose. But the prerequisite is that I love him. As I love him, I'm living a life that is obedient to him, yielding myself to him so he can accomplish his purpose. Paul got saved. Man, he was obedient to the heavenly vision. That's what he tells us in Galatians. He said, man, as soon as I got that, I did what the Lord told me to do. I'm just paraphrasing it. That's the Southern California version right there. And he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. He said he went straight to do what the Lord told him to do. Silas, same thing. At some point he got saved. He started following the Lord. Timothy, and so on and so forth. And they didn't know that they were going to be rocked. They didn't know that they were going to be beaten. They didn't know that they were going to endure all these things for one man and his family to be saved. But that's how much God cares about each soul. And now he will meticulously work out the thing. And he'll allow the devil to do his thing. That's what I'm trying to say. You got to think on Jesus. You got to think on God, even through the good and the bad. Because if you stick it out in faithfulness, you don't know who the Lord has ready for you to witness to, because he sees that their heart is in need of his help. The Bible says in verse 32 that they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night. This is the jailer. Midnight, 12 o'clock, sometime the earthquake. It could be 1 o'clock. It's right in the early a.m. He's taken the same hour of the night. Washed their stripes. Look at his humility. The same dudes that he drug into his prison house, he carefully takes them out, and he's loving on them. He's cleaning them up. He was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. And look at the next word here. Rejoiced. Believing in God with all his house. That's why, friends, for people that want to commit suicide, man, if only they know the love of Jesus. That devil or devils want to oppress and possess their minds with doubt, depression, burdens, worry, you know, sadness and betrayal and all these thoughts that go in their minds because they want to take the alternative. That's the devil behind the work, man. He wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy. But if only they know that God came to give them life and life more abundant. This man went from wanting to take his own life trembling to rejoicing. Look at how much we can learn from his life, man, if we just believe Jesus Christ and receive his word. Look at that, verse 32. He received the word of God. And that Bible says that all his house, so it appears to us that his family were all of age to cognitively and consciously understand and make the same choice to believe. And that Bible says that after they got saved, they were baptized. And look at that, believing in God with all his house. So who's the man in the vision of Macedonia? This jailer. We don't know his name, but he's a brother. We're going to meet him in heaven. We're going to be able to rejoice them and say, man, thank you so much, Mr. Jailer, for giving us that verse, because it's the number one gospel track verse you see on all the tracks. What must I do to be saved? Believe. That's pretty much how you get saved. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that. Because of this one guy, because of two men obeying the word, walking faithfully, Paul and Silas, great example to follow. Anybody have questions, comments? Questions, comments. Not all at once now. Anybody out there? All right now. Well, thank you for coming to church. Father, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us together. Thank you for this Bible study, Lord. Your Bible is so good. If only we just search it. If only we just study it. If only we just meditate upon it more than our cell phones, more than our TVs, more than our video games. Lord, if only we just do that, Lord, how much more peace we would have in this life. Amen. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, now that your Holy Spirit will remind us of the joy and the fire and the goodness that we can reap from your Bible if we just meditate upon it, we just read it. Thank you for the example we just learned tonight, Lord, of Paul and Silas' obedience. Help us to be like them. Thank you for the humility that we learned about in the jailer. Help us to be like him, Lord. And ultimately, help us to receive your word so we can have joy just like that jailer, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, traveling home, and keep us strengthened to work your service in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, church. The Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in online. Peace.